Hi friends, welcome to this special bonus edition of the Bible Project Daily Podcast. The next few bonus episodes, I'm going to attribute it as a short season 10 of just a few episodes so it can be accessed separately from the main thing, which is the study of the Bible through the books of the Bible. We've just finished together going through the Gospel of Luke, which has been a wonderful experience for me. I hope you've enjoyed it too. And we're about to launch off on our season in Numbers. I expect to be about a month in the book of Numbers. Now, towards the end of Luke, I find myself literally recording and uploading the daily episodes literally on the day. So I'm taking a couple of days out. From your point of view, I'm going to be busy preparing and recording the initial episode in our series of Numbers. But to give you something to listen to, I'm going to drop a few bonus episodes, most if not all of which appeared as exclusive material that I offered to the Patreon community, those people who are supporting and encouraging me in this ministry. What I'm going to do over the next couple of days is make available to you something that I originally released as a digital album and a two-disc CD series reflecting material I put together. A very special evening, two evenings in fact, we put on at a church I was pastoring back in 2019, in July of 2019, a special evening of praise and worship as a way to mark the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. That evening, or those two evenings, were an hour and a half long, and each consisted of scripture readings, four or five worship songs, which we sang together, which reflected the glory and the majesty of God and his creation. Interspersed with that was the fact that it was the 50th anniversary of the first landing on the moon. Interspersed within that was over 80 minutes of my own electronic music and samples, which journeyed and told the story of the race to the moon. Commemorating in 1961 with the announcement of John F. Kennedy's goal of reaching a man on the moon, right through to include important events like the first lunar orbit, to the completion of that amazing journey by NASA and, of course, the crew of Apollo 11 in 1969. I was motivated to do this as a way of marking that great event. NASA released over 5,000 hours of audio material into the public domain, freely available for people to use in whatever way they wanted, in order to publicize the monumentous event of putting a man on the moon. So what you will hear, unfortunately, I can't even find the order of service I did, can't find the scripture readings I put together, and I can't find the hymns, otherwise I'd have put them in the episode notes. But what is surviving from that evening is my 80 minutes of electronic recorded soundscapes that formed a backdrop to the evening. So the worship, the readings, and the music, along with videos and PowerPoint presentations, it really was a multimedia event. So what you're going to hear tonight is the music that formed the background to the first night. Disc one of a two-disc CD set. So including in that, you'll hear stuff about the introduction and the dream of Kennedy, the Sputnik, Vanguard, Mercury, and Gemini 1, including the Apollo 1 disaster, which you may be familiar with, where three astronauts died in the launch pad, leading up to Apollo 8 and the orbit of the moon. But I'm actually going to begin with what, on the evening, was the final track, which is the testimonies, the Christian testimonies of many of the astronauts, particularly the Apollo astronauts, who were involved in those missions over the years. It's about 9-10 minutes long. You can decide after listening to that if you want to then carry on and listen to the whole of side one of the first album. Included in it are those NASA recordings, many of them never released before until 2019, and also lots and lots of contemporary American and British news reports of those events. So why not buckle in and let's go along together for this amazing space journey. Disc two will follow tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.
My name is Charlie Duke. I was an astronaut on Apollo 16, 10th man to walk on the moon. So I'm looking out the window, and the Earth floats into the view. And we could see the whole circle of the Earth.
Show you the Earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful view.
And it was the blue of the oceans, the white of the snow and the clouds, the brown of the land, and that jewel of Earth was just hung in the blackness of space.
Very, very beautiful.
I'm Mike Massimino, astronaut. For me, the most compelling views were from my spacewalks. And being a Hubble spacewalker, we're a bit higher than the station, 100 miles higher, so we get to see more of the curve, less detail, but more curve of the planet. And to me, it was when I really had a chance to look, one of the thoughts was, well, this would be the view from heaven. If you could be in heaven looking down, this is what you would see. And I thought about that for a few moments, like, that's not right. This is what heaven must look like. I felt like I was looking into an absolute paradise, and got the sense that we were very lucky to live here.
In Isaiah, the scripture says, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. I said, wow, when I discovered that circle, I said, I've seen the circle of the earth with these eyes. And then in the book of Job, it says, when God made the earth, he suspended it upon nothing. And that's exactly what it looks like. So I realized scripture speaks the truth. And so I look back now, and on all of that experience, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And not one nation, not one language under heaven does not understand what God has done through the creation of the heaven. In the beginning, God created. It wasn't in the beginning, it happened by accident. God put those three guys there. And so I believe that was ordained. And I just say, praise God. We gave God honor on the first flight to the moon.
My name is Frank Borman. I'm a believer that man is a flawed individual, and that our salvation depends upon Jesus Christ. That's the way I was before, and that's the way I am now. We were the first crew on a Saturn V. It still is the most powerful machine ever made by man.
We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit.
I felt like we were on the point of a needle, a very large needle, and I had a feeling of being along for the ride rather than being in control of anything. We were quite convinced that it was the most appropriate thing to do, because there's a sense of awe, in my part at least, that this universe is bigger than all of us. It's too orderly, and it's too enormous not to have some sort of divine creation.
If you trust that it is the revealed word of God, that it's inspired by him, and it's by that means that he has revealed himself, then those words will inherently take on a special meaning. I believe that in the end, in the bottom line, it is undeniable. It is his revelation to mankind.
Well, God's word is powerful. Is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, the scripture says in Hebrews. And so the words of God penetrate.
There's just a continuous panorama of views and spectrum of views, all of which give you a category of an impression, and that is just the awe and wonder of the view of the earth as part of God's creation that we call home. My faith is not informed by the view out the window. My faith is informed by the Bible, by the scriptures, by the word of God, his special revelation, which details who he is and what he has done for us. With that revelation, with that knowledge, then going to the vantage point in viewing his work of creation just takes on an intensity of and depth of meaning. There's a uniqueness to humanity I believe it is because we bear the image of God. So taking that perspective with us when we leave the planet, or when we leave Earth orbit again, and go back to the vicinity of the moon, it's incredibly important for those people that get those opportunities to take that perspective with them, to fully be able to comprehend the experiences as well as communicate and share vicariously that experience with the people that remain on Earth.
As we stood up on the side of Stone Mountain, which was our second day out, and I could look across the Kali Plains and see all the way across the horizon and that sharp lunar horizon, and then looking up into the blackness of space. That was probably as near to a spiritual experience that I had. Wow, this is amazing. What an opportunity that I have. And I thank God every day. Thank you for letting me go to the moon. And I've had a prophecy all my life. It says, you didn't know it, Charlie, but I ordained that you would walk on the moon. I will use that for my glory in the future.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
The goal is the moon, perhaps man's oldest dream. If all goes well, some 112 hours and 50 minutes after liftoff, Neil Armstrong will step on the lunar surface. It shows what this, the richest nation in history, can do if it puts its mind to it.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Lift off. We have a lift off. 32 minutes past the hour. Lift off on Apollo 1.
I was thinking, what a wonderful animal we are. That we could dream up this and get ourselves off this planet that we were born on and off to another world.
Had never been heard on this earth. Suddenly, it has become as much a part of 20th century life as the whir of your vacuum cleaner. It's a report from man's farthest frontier, the radio signal transmitted by the Soviet Sputnik, the first man-made satellite as it passed over New York earlier today. Right now, it's over Auckland, New Zealand. According to the latest Soviet announcement, the satellite is still maintaining its speed of 18,000 miles an hour, meeting no resistance 560 miles out in space. The Russians say it'll be joined by another very shortly, and there will be advance notice this time. What the Sputnik's signal means, we still don't know. The Russians haven't said anything about that. Our own experts haven't found any coded information in it. The sound may be no more than a means of identification, a way to keep track of the beach ball-sized metal sphere as it hurtles around the world 16 times every day, a dozen times faster than any man has ever flown.
The night that Sputnik was launched, I was on the newspaper desk, and lo and behold, the flash came across, Russia has launched Sputnik, and we couldn't figure out the spelling of Sputnik, we couldn't figure out what Sputnik meant. That was the first indication that I had that there was some serious stuff going on in space.
This is really quite an advancement for not only the Russians, but for international science. I think we'd all agree on that. It's the first time anybody has ever been able to get anything out that far in space and keep it there for any length of time.
Do you admire the Russians for doing it or not?
No, definitely not. I said we should have been the first ones to have it, if there's such thing.
I guess the American people are alarmed that a foreign country, especially an enemy country, can do this. And if we fear this. We feel that they have something out that majority of the people don't know about.
I thought, we must be at war.
It's hard to appreciate how truly desperate this rivalry was, with competing economic and political systems, each out to destroy the other.
Let's not fool ourselves. This may be our last chance to provide the means of saving Western civilization from annihilation.
We honestly believed that we could be annihilated with nuclear weapons at any time. When I was in elementary school, we would have duck and cover exercises and crawl under our desks like that would protect us from a nuclear blast.
Into the nose cones of the entire Vanguard vehicle. When this motor reaches orbital altitude, the nose cone separates and the antenna fall into place. I'm very pleased to be associated with the Vanguard project, and all of us here at Grand Central are looking forward with a great deal of enthusiasm and anticipation to the firing of the satellite.
This is Charles Von Fremd reporting from Cape Canaveral. Reporters and photographers have gathered here throughout the night and early morning. Now it is almost noon. We expect the Project Vanguard missile carrying the first United States Earth satellite to be launched momentarily.
It hasn't left the ground yet.
The Vanguard missile is in the air. We see a tremendous cloud of flames. I don't see it. I think the launching has been unsuccessful. There's no trace of the missile in the sky.
Severe propaganda defeat for this country. $110 million having been spent on the project so far.
The next project or experiment in your field of rocket research?
Well, we are devoting part of our time, of course, to the development of Project Mercury, which is sponsored by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Is, has your good lady and have your children had anything to say about this?
I have no problems at home. My family's in complete agreement. Training program will last probably 2 years. During this time, our urgent goal is to subject these gentlemen to every stress, each unusual environment they will experience in that flight. Before the first flight, we will have developed our Mercury spaceship to the point where it will be as reliable as man can devise.
My luck, we had had at that point a number of unmanned spacecraft that had failed. really it impressed the hell out of me that this was a really dangerous business.
There's no telling what the effect would have been on our prestige or our space program. But nothing went wrong. Everything went well.
Should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
President Kennedy signed an authorization from Congress to spend $1.7 billion on our space program for the next fiscal year. That's $10 for every man, woman, and child in the nation. But fair enough for what is by far the greatest show on Earth, the dramatic Race to the Moon.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff. The MA-6 vehicle has lifted off.
New York today. The 40-year-old man from outer space with the beautifully thinning hair will get the gladdest hand ever from a city so eager to applaud an uncommon man.
Really enthusiastic once again about space. There's no sign to me that on the morning of November the 22nd, 1963, that John Kennedy was willing to back off.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
The space program is costing us about $5 billion a year, and if there is anyone left anywhere who still cares about money, he might reasonably ask what we are getting for all of it. But there is another element. It is said that by exploring space, we will increase the sum of human knowledge and perhaps make some basic discoveries, learn some dimensions and insights previously unknown.
Days before the launch of this Gemini flight, now scheduled for next Tuesday, dozens of contractors in dozens of buildings all over Cape Kennedy are going through the final tests of their pieces of equipment that will be in this complex booster and spacecraft when they blast off from Pad 19. journey under cloudless skies, astronauts in exhibited white, preparing for 4 days in space in America's first walk in space.
90 seconds and counting. The launch vehicle has gone to internal power. The launch vehicle is now on its own battery power.
Everything is go for this mission in all the tracking stations around the world.
18th are at this moment in their 18th orbit of the Earth. They've been aloft 27 hours, 44 minutes. They are currently over Western Australia. The two pilots have flown about 430,000 miles, nearly the distance of a round trip to the moon.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay, he's out. Close three. This is the greatest experience I've just remembered. Right now, I'm standing on my head. I'm looking right down. It looks like we're coming up on the coast of California. Okay, I'm drifting down underneath the spacecraft. What I'd like to do is get all the way out here and get a picture of the whole spacecraft. I don't seem to be doing it.
Yeah, I noticed that. Get far enough away.
No. Listen, it's all the difference in the world with this gun. When that gun was working, I was maneuvering all around.
Flight director says get back in.
Okay. Where are we over now, Jim?
I don't know. We're coming over to West there, and they want you to come back in.
Back in?
Back in.
Roger, we've just had to talk to you for a while here.
Mrs. White, to you, what was the highlight of your husband's 20-minute excursion in space today outside the space vehicle?
Oh, just the whole thing. Just knowing he was out there, I knew how thrilled he was to do it, and I'm glad he was able to do it.
Gold 23, 33, take one.
Thank you.
Houston, this is Gemini 8. Space station keeping on the Agena at about 150 feet.
Roger, do you have solid radar lock on with the Agena? Over.
Let me know what you get out of that.
Demonstrated that Neil Armstrong was a superb pilot, a superb judge of mechanical systems. God had given it to him with both hands, and he knew how to use that skill.
The spacewalking in the Gemini program was not very successful as it proceeded along.
Your son is one of the two civilians chosen. How long has he been flying, sir?
Since before he was 16 years of age.
Before 16? This would mean that he has had his wings before he had his driver's license,
right? Right.
Now, how would you feel, Ms. Armstrong, if it turned out, of course nobody knows, but if it turns out that your son is the first man to land on the moon, how would you feel?
Well, guess I just say God bless him, and I wish him the best of all good luck. Well, guess I just say God bless you.